You are listening to Elevated on Radio Pulpit. Thank you so much for staying with me today, as I now have the incredible privilege of welcoming our guest to the platform. He is a pastor. He is really somebody who loves community, who loves kingdom. He's the founder of Altar POS, and he's been working very, very closely with churches and communities to make funeral fundraising more accessible. Now, if you are part of the church, then you will know funeral fundraising is a very big part of community, and that's the time when you need your community most. So Pastor Tulani Ngwenya, who is a wellness and spiritual coach and author and founder of Superhuman in Transit Living, joins us now here on Elevated. Good day, and thank you so much for your time.
Good morning. Good morning to your listeners. Thank you so much for having me.
Now, I've given our listeners a little bit of a snapshot into who you are, but if you were to share a bit of your testimony, the testimony behind all of the accolades that I just mentioned, how would you do that just briefly? How would you do that?
Look, I would say I used to struggle in my life, and I did not understand why I struggle if I had Christ. Right. But then I realized that it could have been because I never really took the time to search the scriptures, as Christ says in the word. He says, search the scriptures, because it is in them that you think you know me. But once I took time to search the scriptures and mostly focused on the teachings of Christ, I realized there that the reason I am struggling is that I am consciously separating myself from Christ by not aligning with his teachings, right? So for instance, my position was, I am here and Christ is there, therefore I need to be separated from him. But Christ says, I am the vine and you are the branches. Therefore, where I am, you are. He said, my Father dwells in me, I dwell in my Father, and you dwell in me too. So we are one with Christ and one with the Father. Where Christ is, we are. And also God says, to confirm this, is I will never leave nor forsake you. I am with you always until the end of time, right? So when I realized it, I said then, I was not aware that I am with Christ always. Therefore, that changed my perspective. And I realized that a lot of people have been struggling because they've been thinking the way I had been thinking for a very long time, looking at themselves as separate or distant from Christ, that they have to call Christ from far away for Christ to come and rescue them. But Christ says, we are one. I am the vine and you are the branches. I have come that you may have life and have it in abundance. Everything that you ask of the Father in my name will be granted unto you. Right. So I started then focusing on the teachings of Christ, and that really transformed my life, because even my prayers are no longer prayers of torments, crying and begging God, but my prayers are prayers of gratitude. Right. I thank God, because also the word says, if you pray for something and you believe in your heart that you have received it, it will be granted. So if you believe that you already have it, your prayer must be that of thanksgiving there, right? Because you are believing that you have it already. And that has then shifted and transformed my life.
I now understand where your teachings of Christ-centeredness comes from, because I do see that you help people to shift from just religion, approaching Christ through religion, to Christ-centered living, divine living. I now do understand it. I'd like for you to delve a little bit deeper into the way that your prayer has changed. You were mentioning that after you've now taken this Christ-centered approach, that the way that you pray have changed. Sometimes people will pray and pray and they feel like there's simply no results. There's no results. Has that changed for you now that you've changed the way that you pray?
No, definitely it has changed. So for instance, the way I now look at the Lord's Prayer, it's different. There are a few scriptures where that just say one of the biggest scripture that everybody quotes is that greater is he that is in you than the one that is in the world. And obviously that is referring to God, that is referring to Christ that is in us, right? And in the word, when Christ was asked by his disciples when the kingdom of God will come, he said, the kingdom of God is not here or there. When they tell you that, don't listen to them, because the kingdom of God is within you. The word also says, don't you know that your body is the temple of God? So all these things are pointing me within. The kingdom is within. God dwells within me. Therefore, when I look to heaven, I shouldn't be looking to a place far away, but God is here with me within me. So, for instance, when I say, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, to me, then that says, what is my condition internally? Do I realize the greater within me? Because if I realize the greater within me, then I understand that everything that the greater within me has, I have it too, right? So Christ said, everything that you, the word says, you are heirs with Christ, meaning you are inheriting what Christ is inheriting. If you follow Christ, if you abide to his word, if you follow his teachings, if you subscribe to Christ, you are heirs with Christ, meaning what Christ has access to, you have access to. Therefore, our prayers has been speaking from down here, looking to heaven, away from the throne. But if you can imagine yourself, let's say your father is a king, and you're sitting with your father in the around the same table, and you look at everything that your father has, right? When you need to utilize one of these things, let me make a simple example. You're sitting around the dinner table. You are a child in the home. The home belongs to your father. The salt that's on the table belongs to your father. You don't pray and beg that the salt be brought to you. You just say, Daddy, will you please pass me the salt, right? So the prayer is different. So instead of saying, God, I beg you, you just say, Father, access to this because it belongs to you, therefore I have access to it. So the way you look at all those things and you relate to God then starts shifting and it starts being different. And therefore you understand that you have to find God within because we quote the scriptures unconsciously, not really realizing. We see greater is he that is in me, but then we go and we look away, right? We look away. When we pray, we look away. But when we quote them, we say, he is in me, the creator that is in me. And if we are heirs with Christ, if you remember the story of the prodigal son, right? When the young son returned home, when the older son complained and he said, Father, I have been with you. You've never threw a feast for me. I've respected you. The response from the father was that, my son, all that I have is yours. That is exactly what God is saying. If we are aligned and are one with Christ, all that belongs to God is ours. We have access to because we are heirs. Therefore, we realize that we shouldn't be thinking from a place of lack, but from a place of gratitude. That's the transformation, yeah.
That's incredible. I think you've really helped someone today. I want to get into community, Pastor. I want to get into church community. I always say that you only realize the importance of having a church family or a church community when one of your loved ones pass or when you pass on, when you transition.
Yes, that's right.
That's when you realize the power of the community, because sometimes even your own family cannot be there for each other because they are broken, but your kingdom family steps in. Before we get
Yes.
into some of the things that you've developed to help us be better kingdom family members to one another, let me ask you about the role that kingdom family or community plays in your life. Have you ever been in a place where your church community really stepped in and you realized that God placed them there for a reason?
No, definitely, definitely. Look, even for things that may be complete, I mean, they may be considered smaller than death, right? Even in simple things where, as a human being, you are struggling, whether it's sickness, it's illness, right? You see your kingdom community showing up for you. That is, for instance, assisting with taking care of your kids when you are not able to. The visits that they come, the prayers that they bring at the hospital, all these things to give you the strength to say you can overcome, to say you are not alone. Simple things like them bringing meals to your house because they understand that you are not in a position to cook, just making sure that you are taken care of. That is big, right? Even spiritually, when we gather as the kingdom family, we help edify each other with the word. We learn from one another. Somebody might have a scripture that you've been reading for a very long time, but never really understood. But when you come together, there's edification of one another. That is what the Apostle Paul said to the Corinthians and the Romans, that edify each other with the word. So the kingdom family is very important. Sometimes, as people, especially when you have not come to the realization that what belongs to God belongs to you, we get discouraged when certain things, as we are expecting them, do not happen in our lives. And we get angry at God, right? But if you have the kingdom family, people, they come, they bring their own testimonies. They say, this is the journey I have traveled. This is the difficulty I've encountered. But look at me now. That strengthens you to realize that actually God has never left nor forsook you. So participating or being one with a kingdom community is very helpful in many different ways.
Pastor, before we get into Altar POS, I want to talk about your books because you have authored books as well. I want to talk about A Hobo and The Poor Rich Man. I really would like to know more about it. What is that book all about? Just the title in itself is so intriguing.
All right, the book is about what we've just discussed, Christ consciousness, right? A Hobo and the Poor Rich Man. So, in summary, it's a story be between a man who is rich on earth, monetary, a businessman, right? But who is very empty inside. Who is very empty inside, no matter how much he accumulates in the world. He is just never fulfilled, very empty. He has suicidal thoughts because he's just not happy. So he's just concerned that I have all these things. Why am I not happy? So one day he meets a hobo on the streets of Joburg. Very hobos actually very spiritually inclined. I spend a lot of time with them as well, right? They have a lot of spiritual wisdom. So when he meets this hobo, you can imagine. Christ sitting with his disciples. When they look at Christ, he owned nothing on this world. When they asked him, where do you stay? He said, owls have nests, right? But the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He owned nothing and yet he possessed everything in this world. So the hobo is just a free spiritual being on this world. So in their first encounter, the hobo starts teaching some of this Christ consciousness that the focus should be within. You must go within. That is where God is. If you read the book of I think it's Colossians or Ephesians, I need to correct this. But when it speaks about the fruits of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, right? Those are some of the fruits of the spirits. So what people do is they look externally on the things they can accumulate to either find love, peace, and joy. But the word says those are spiritual fruits. They can never be accumulated through any means on the flesh. So the hobo then starts teaching this guy that you need to go within, because that is where your happiness is. That is where your joy is. All these things that you have will never grant you that. So we find them going on a journey, on a very transformative journey. And at the end of their encounter, week after week, this guy is just transformed, is very happy. He has sold everything he has. He lives a very simple life in a farm. He's just happy. He's found the happiness that he's been looking for all his time.
That's incredible. That's
That is what
incredible.
a hobo and
You said something very interesting. You were saying that hobos or homeless people are actually quite spiritual beings, quite spiritual people. Why do you say that?
Because very interesting. I met a hobo 2 weeks ago, an older, much older, a Caucasian man, right? He says to me, before I became a hobo, I had so much money, right? I was a professional athlete. With the money, I got into drugs, and I had this and that. And I was the biggest person. But now that I've been a hobo, I've never been this happy, because I realized that God can take all these things away to give you time with him. And since I've been on the streets, I don't have any responsibilities. When I wake up, it's just me and God, right? It's a similar thing when somebody is taken to prison. I know prison does something, different things to different people. But when you find yourself in solitude with no distractions, that is when you come face to face with God, right? So if you think about hobos, they don't have the stress that you have, the bills that you have to pay, the electricity you have to buy, the school fees you must pay for your kids, how you look, the clothes you must wear, right? They are very free people. Therefore, they are closer to God because they have no distractions. Many people are distracted by their blessings, right? The blessings that many people have take them away from God. A simple example: you have a television in your house. Not that it's bad to watch television, but when you come back from work, you just sit in front of the TV. When do you take time to go to your room and open the Bible and spend time with God, right? Because you have all the things. So hobos have all the time. They have all the attention they can give to God. They are much closer to the ground. They just see the world in a very different view. And there's a quote that I love that is also in the book that says, you look at a hobo, and you pity him, but he looks at you and he says, oh, shame, if only he knew how beautiful life can be.
Oh, that is incredible. And if you are listening, you have to get your hands on that book, A Hobo and the Poor Rich Man. And you've just dropped so much wisdom here, Pastor, just while talking and not allowing our blessings to distract us. That is a whole sermon on its own. I hope that we can hear that preaching somewhere. You also have the book called The Focus, and both these books, they explore spiritual intelligence, purpose, and the power of transformation. If you want to know how to get your hands on that book, stay tuned. I'm going to get the pastor's details for you in a moment. But I now want to shift our attention to your innovation. It is called Altar POS. Tell us about that, Pastor. Where did the Lord drop this creativity in you? How did you receive it?
All right, so Altar POS, Altar is basically the altar of the Lord, and POS is point of sale, right? So it's Altar POS. So it actually started in the church. In the church, we had challenges with collecting offerings. We work with people, and people in the flesh are tempted, and they have many challenges. So what we realized is we just did a research over a period of time, and we realized that what we actually collect in the church is not what we bank, you know? So we thought, how could we then harness technology to enable us to track the offerings so that we know at any given point in time how much God's people contributing, whether it's tithe or offering or it's a donation for a project, whether it's church building or whatever it is, right? So because my background is very highly technology, we thought, why don't we build something? Because people are now accustomed to using QR codes for many things. We built a platform that will enable us, which is print these QR codes and we display them in the church. So at any given point in time, when a church member is sitting, they can scan this QR code and they can make an offering. They don't have to stand up and go up and down. And this offering is digital. It goes to the church bank account. So when you scan the QR code with your phone, especially with the younger generation that wants everything digital these days, it makes it very exciting and very easy for them. So when you scan, it opens a page where, if you want, optionally, you can enter your name and your email address. You can then indicate whether it's an offering, it's a tithe, or it's a donation. And there's a portion there for your prayer request. If you have a prayer request, you can enter it there. Then you can click donate. When you donate, you can then transact. You can think of it as when you make a purchase online. You have all these different options to make the transaction, whether you pay by card, you pay by Apple Pay, Android Pay, Capitec, whatever. And then the money goes into the church's bank account. The church has a dashboard. When they go to the dashboard at any point in time, they can filter by date. They can see the members' offerings, the amounts. And the nice feature is they can see the prayer request. So they can make church very personal, because they know their members need prayers. They can reach out to them, you know, then to make church more homey, because now you know what your church members need. So that's a value add to that platform, right? For churches to be able to track at their offerings and just offer seamlessly. So it started in the church, and that is where the name Altar POS comes from. But then it extended to community. Right, we looked at communities. I am from the villages myself. Even though I live in the big cities, I travel a lot as a pastor to different funerals. And I see the struggle that these families have when they have to bury their loved ones. And what often happens is that at these venues, especially in the African culture, they would bring a side plate for people to offer and contribute, right? What happens is when I travel, I unconsciously just never withdraw money because I never really think about the offering. So you find that I have 5 rands in my pocket, and that's very little to offer. In my bank account, I have $1,000, right? So in a similar way, we built then a different filter that focuses on funerals or events, so to say. So how it works is if there's a bereavement on a particular family, they can log into the platform and create the event of type funeral, whether it's grave funeral or cremation. When they create the event, it generates a unique link and a unique QR code for that event. It has an expiry date. So how it works is from the day of the announcement, we print these posters with the QR codes, nicely says, if you'd like to offer to the family, scan here. We display that at the home. Those are also displayed at the venues, whether it's a mosque or a church, wherever the funeral will be taking place, right? Even at the graveyard. So at any point in time, when people are walking in and out of the home, they can see this thing they scan. Instead of donating the 5 rands from the pockets, they can donate 1,000 because it links it to their bank accounts. And the family also has a similar dashboard. Also, the nice part of this is that when you scan, you have an option to also enter a comforting message to the family. So when the family logs into the dashboard, they get access to the dashboard. They can see the people that are offering, they can see the amounts, and they can also see these beautiful, kind messages that people are sending to them, right? So it helps them, it makes it easier. And people don't have to worry now about, I did not bring cash. Oh my God, I feel so bad. Because they can then just scan and offer to these families. And we've seen the change that this has brought to the families. And it's a really big thing for communities.
That is incredible, Pastor. I must tell you, that is incredible and a great example of how kingdoms should advance with technology and use technology for the
That's right.
betterment of community and for kingdom. That is absolutely great. I have a couple of questions for you as you were talking. I was wondering, how does this differ from your conventional POS systems just in the church giving aspect? You are saying that the money goes directly to the church or to the family, for instance. Normally with POS systems, the money will first go to the POS company, like to Alta POS. It sits there and then gets released after a few days. Does Alta POS work in the same fashion?
Alta POS works in the same fashion. However, we've integrated APIs that, depending on the agency, people indicate how soon they want the money. So the API, based on that setting, immediately after the offering, it goes into the POS and makes the transaction to the bank. So the user is not aware of that. It looks as if it's almost seamless straight to the bank account. Yeah.
That is incredible. And just for transparency, is there a percentage as well, like with your normal POS systems that Alta POS takes, for instance, for the service?
Yes, correct. Because we have to pay for the platforms that we are using. Unfortunately, they are not free,
Yeah.
right? So we match the POS that you would get that you'd use with the card, but obviously those do not give you the dashboard, for instance, where you can track prayer requests, where you can all these different features that we give you, but we standardize on that cost as well.
All right. And then, sorry, you can hear that I'm asking from a pastor's point of view myself. So it's
That's
almost
right.
a one-on-one consultation now, but I hope our listeners are also getting something from it. Are church leaders, are they able to use Alta POS for sales as well? Because a lot of churches, they use those devices for offering, they use it for the tithes, for instance, but then they also use it for their coffee shops after church. They also use it for book sales, like, for instance, your incredible books. Are they able to do that as well?
Look, I am glad you asked that question. Because we are thinking community, we looked at how can we transform especially the informal trading industry. The mother that sells vegetables on the side of the streets, right? The guy that sells vegetables or whatever at the traffic lights, right? Most of the time, these people lose out on sales because people simply don't have cash. Therefore, they don't buy. So there's another feature, it's termed for vendors. On the same platform on Alta POS. So what that does is you get an eternal, so to say, QR code that is strictly for sales. So instead of a card, you just display that QR code. People pay you for your goods anytime. If I can just add, we have another QR code that one can generate for tips. In environments, let's look at, so we have a big church event. There's car guards that are working there. There's cleaners. They can have those tip QR codes that people can just scan to just appreciate them
Yeah.
for tips. And those are utilized in many different industries as well.
I absolutely love this. I love the vision. I love that you're thinking community and that this is the church, that this is the kingdom, that is what makes it absolutely incredible. Final question, Pastor. Talk to me about the role of community leaders, pastors who are community leaders, in ensuring that communities are taken care of, whether it's in a time of grief, whether it is in a time, as you said earlier, of sickness or just families going through trouble. Community leaders, pastors, we have the responsibility to take this information that we've just heard on Radio Pulpit and implemented to take care of our communities. Your final thoughts on that?
Look, if you look at in the olden days, religion in the olden days, if you read the Old Testament, right? Especially if you go to one of the very favorite book in Malachi, where it says, bring your tithe so there may be food in my house, right? In the olden days, these tithes were collected for people, communities, to never go hungry, because church or the temples were the safe space where they know that if I go to this temple, I will find help. I will not go hungry, because God uses his prophets, his preachers, or his servants to take care of the communities, right? So that is how it's been from the longest time. I know some places, then it transformed and it was lost. People don't find that help at church. But church should continue to be that for the community, right? It's very important. It must be community first. Unfortunately, a lot of churches, I'm sorry to say this, pastors have put themselves first. How can I benefit from the members of the church? But it should be the other way around. Remember this last scripture, just to quote briefly, where Christ says, you will come to me and say, God, I did this and that and that and that. And then he would say to you, depart from me, you doers of evil. I never knew you, because you did not take care of the least of mine. You took care of yourselves, but the least of mine you neglected. So church must be community first before anything else. Very important.
Pastor, thank you so much for your time today and sharing some of your insights and wisdom. If people would like to know more about Alter POS, get your books, or use your services as a wellness and spiritual coach, where do they reach you?
Look, I think the scripture says I should give my personal details for this one. I don't know why, but I'd love to leave my personal cell phone number. It is 072-209-7036. Let me just repeat it. It's 072-209-7037. If people reach out to me, whether by WhatsApp or SMS or phone call, I can then redirect them to all these other places. But I just felt that I need to share my personal details for this one.
Pastor, thank you so much. Our listeners will use those details very, very carefully and with discernment as well. Thank you for what you're doing for the kingdom, through the kingdom, and let us then get together and support the kingdom. Pastor Tulani Ngwenya, we bless you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Blessings to you as well.